Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
Phase Zero, episode 15. Welcome to the show. I'm your host, Brandon Davis, and the Fantastic Four are back, ladies and gents. Jenna is here.
Hey, guys.
Aaron is here.
Hey, y'all.
Jamie is here.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to episode 15 of Phase Zero. On today's show, we actually have so much Marvel news. I'm excited to talk about a lot of it because last week we were talking about a Spider-Man No Way Home t-shirt. Like, that was all we had last week. This week we have a lot. And we also have The Falcon and the Winter Soldier, episode 6, the season finale, maybe the series finale, who knows, that we're going to dissect. But the spoilers are saved for the end of the show, so you're safe for now if you've made it to noon Eastern time without watching the episode. What, do you have a job? What? How dare you? So we're going to save all the spoiler discussion for the second half of the show. 7 weeks till Loki. Let the countdown begin. But let's start with some news. First of all, Shang-Chi trailer finally came out this week. I'm hyped for this movie. I was hyped for this movie before the trailer. I am super hyped now. I thought the trailer was fantastic. Simu Liu looks awesome in this part. Everybody in the movie looks great. I am kind of curious about like the water power of it all. Because there was like that slow-mo shot where the water's going by, and then there was also a pop figure that came out that Shang-Chi is kicking, and he's using water to amplify that kick. I don't know. I thought it looked really good. Anybody have thoughts on this one?
I loved the trailer. Like, I just thought it was really kind of unexpected in a way that was really cool. I also really like how they turned the 10 rings into bracelets, because that seems so much easier just from like a stunt standpoint, and like looks way cooler in action than I feel like 10 actual rings would. So like, I'm not intimately familiar with like the Shang-Chi corner of the Marvel universe, but I'm just so excited to see what they're doing here, because that trailer is just so much fun.
Yeah, I mean, it's cool to see that change, because first of all, it'd be one thing to have somebody wielding a bunch of powers on their hands again. It would be too reminiscent of Infinity Stones. And also, I mean, the Mandarin is such an awesome villain. The Ten Rings, we're finally getting it. This is something that we were teased with in the MCU previously, and under-delivered, if you ask me. But
I don't know. I love Iron Man 3 so much.
I'm an actor. No, bro.
I love it. No. It's better than Ralph Boner, in my opinion.
What isn't? What? But yeah, I thought that trailer was awesome. I can't. It was just a teaser trailer. It didn't really give us anything from the story. It just showed us the fact that there's awesome kung fu. Simu Liu is going to kick ass, and there's a giant lion. Like, what else do you need? Anyway, next up, Secret Invasion added 2 new cast members. Look at Jamie. She's excited. Olivia Colman, Queen Elizabeth joined the show first. Jamie, come on.
Oh, my God. I love Olivia Colman so much. Like, this is Catherine Hahn level. This might be beyond Catherine Hahn level if I'm speaking crazy talk. I have the favorite tattoo. That her winning the Oscar was like the greatest moment of my life. And the fact that she, it's like Marvel is like, what can we do today to make Jamie Jarek as happy as possible? Let's put Olivia Colman in Marvel.
I know. I was going to say the 1-2 punch of like Julia Louis-Dreyfus and Olivia Colman. I was like, Jamie has to just be dead right now. Like, this is just perfectly catered to you.
Our coworker Charlie is the one who broke the news to me, and I woke up to his Slack message, and it was truly like, this is the best day of my life. I have no theories. I don't know about anything. I just know that Olivia Colman is going to be my favorite character in the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
No matter what. I love that. That's a true stan right there. Take notes, stans. That's a true stan. Boom. Not the only exciting casting for Secret Invasion. Emilia Clarke, the mother of dragons, is also joining Secret Invasion, which I think is awesome. Jenna, what do you think of this?
I love that casting so much. It's really funny because, like, I know people have been speculating, like, oh, could either Olivia Colman or Olivia Clarke be, like, Queen Varenki from the Secret Invasion comic storyline? Because it's, like, they both technically did play queens in other things, so that could be that kind of, like, self-aware casting that Marvel does sometimes. But, like, as soon as I saw that Olivia Clarke joined, part of me selfishly was just, like, can she just play Abigail Brand? Because she is a sword agent, she's a half-mutant, she has, like, ties to the X-Men, and she is just the coolest character that to come out of like the sword corner of the Marvel universe. And I'm like, I just need Emilia Clarke with like short green hair just kicking ass as like a sword agent. Like, I need that to happen. So whatever she ends up playing, I'm gonna be happy, but part of me selfishly is just like, please be Abigail Brand. I really want you to be Abigail Brand. So
yeah, I would love to see that. I think Emilia as Abigail Brand and Olivia as the Skrull Queen would work. It would work really well. And then we get to keep Emilia Clarke for a long time. And who knows what happens to the Skrull Queen. I'm sorry, Jamie, but you stand villains. That's okay. That's okay. We love that. We love that for you. Russell Crowe got on Kevin Feige's hit list this week. That's for sure. He was on a radio show. I think it's called like Joy 94.6. I'm sorry if I got the number of your station wrong. You're all the way in Australia. We don't get reception of your channel. I'm so sorry. But he said on a radio show that he is playing Zeus. He said he's riding his bike over to the set and he's Zeusing for the last time. And that's a wrap for Russell Crowe as Zeus. It might be a wrap for Russell Crowe on life for leaking this. You know what happens to people who talk too much for Marvel. So that's cool. I mean, how do you guys think Zeus is going to fit into Thor, Love and Thunder?
Well, get butchered? The way I see it is like you can't have Gore the God Butcher without having him butcher some gods. So it's like he seems to me like a character who can kind of just be a red shirt and like he'll play a part in the movie and then just be killed off in the worst possible way. But it still is just really cool of like, what are the ramifications of introducing Zeus into the Marvel universe? Because I know a lot of people are really eager to see like who could Hercules be in the MCU, because obviously he would be kind of a natural conclusion to that. So I'm just really hyped that we're kind of dealing with that corner of the universe, because it's something that it seems perfectly suited for Taika Waititi, considering how just weird it gets in the comics.
Yeah, it's amazing that this stuff is coming out. Still, the fact that Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness had nothing come out. Last week, I think Jamie wrote this story. So it might not have been Jamie. Somebody wrote the story that the set photos popped up from Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness, and they were just like a field. Like, that was the whole article on the site. It was just a field. And I was
that
like,
that wasn't me. This That's is really funny.
This is the closest we're getting to anything from this movie. And I got respect for that. Benny Cumberbatch, Benadryl Cucumber. Batch is keeping it tight over there. All right. Russell Crowe, not at the top of Kevin Feige's hit list this week, though. He's not number one on the list. You know who's number one? Alfred Molina managed to outdo Russell Crowe revealing his character. So Alfred Molina, who played Doc Ock in the original Spider-Man trilogy, did an interview where he said literally, I think, everything he wasn't supposed to say. And I consider this kind of spoilery, so maybe... If I don't know, I'm gonna say it because it's out there. But I was kind of like, I don't know. We know everything else about this movie at this point, so why not? But he said Spider-Man No Way Home is picking up his Doc Ock right where Spider-Man 2 left him off. So I don't know. Does that mean like we're gonna find him at the bottom of a river with an energy source? Personally, I think that means that energy source transported him to another universe because it works for Electro too. That's how both those characters went out. And he also said they used de-aging technology on him. What? Bro, Kevin Feige's gonna kill you. If Alfred Molina and Russell Crowe go missing this week, you know why. You know what happened. Aaron, what do you think of this? Are you excited to get Doc Ock right where he left off, or were you hoping for a fresh take? What do you think?
I'm so confused. It's like, I think you said on Twitter, we know everything about this movie, but we can't, because there has to be some sort of curveball, right? Like, you just get him out of the, you just fish him out of the Hudson, and he just, you know, Alpha Melina circa the mid-aughts, de-aged, because no one can possibly die. The funniest thing is that we still don't know what Electro, all the stuff is a bit about Doc Ock. No one said about Electro. No one said anything about what's the old boy's name? Golly, I can't believe I'm spacing this boy's name. They're gonna make fun of me in the comments. No one said anything about him at all. All Melina's just like, here's some stuff. Here's all the entire plot of the movie. Here you go. Here we go. So, and I just, it's so crazy that these older actors, I think Jim said it in the comments, they just don't care. They're like, Kevin Feige, yeah, I welcome death.
Yeah. What can Kevin Feige do to Russell Crowe and Alfred Molina? Nothing.
I don't know. I found it so funny when that article went live on like Friday afternoon, because we had spent our whole news segment that week being like, yeah, you know, there's a t-shirt with a logo. Yeah, you know, She-Hulk has a working title. And it's like, oh, here's Alfred Molina with the entire plot of the movie, basically. It was like, oh my gosh, where was this like 12 hours before?
I'm telling you, I honestly wish we knew less about Spider-Man No Way Home, because could you imagine going into this movie, or even if a trailer dropped and revealed some of this stuff, and that's how we found out? It's kind of a bummer that we know so much, but that's the world we live in now, and it's crazy. I mean, it's weird, because I do wonder, like, the fact that this is technically the Sony movie, is that the reason it's not being, the ship isn't being run as tightly? Is it like a different NDA? I don't know, but I think Kevin Feige... is sending somebody to some knocking on some doors real soon here. I'm also, if we ever get Kevin Feige on here for like an actual extended interview, which is a goal of mine to have him for more than 5 minutes, I want to ask, what happens? What do you do when somebody spoils something? Like, I'm genuinely curious. Like, is it a fine, like an NBA player who says something bad at a press conference or something? Or is it like what happens? Do you threaten their family? I don't know. Sony and Disney, speaking of the difference between Sony and Disney, they made a big deal this week. All 2022 through 2026 movies from Sony can go on Disney streaming services, their linear broadcast networks like ABC and FX. And this means that Spider-Man movies, not No Way Home, because that's a 2021 movie, but beyond that, so Venom, Let There Be Carnage, Morbius, everything can go to Disney Plus or Hulu. They haven't been clear about where this stuff is going and when it's going to get there. It can start in June. This also includes like Jumanji, Hotel Transylvania. I'm pretty sure it's the whole Sony library has been licensed to Disney. So Sony just cashed two fat checks, fat checks from Netflix and Disney. So Sony just single-handedly kept Sony in business. But I think this is a sign that Sony and Disney have more of a relationship than we may have thought. Back when they were like, yeah, we're not playing with Spider-Man together anymore. We're taking our ball and going home. Like, I think there's more there. I think when Tom Holland did that interview a while ago where he was like, they've worked it out, this won't be an issue again, I think he was telling the truth. I think that this is something that's going to last. That's the deal. That's it. I don't know. Homecoming, Far From Home, headed to Disney Plus, I think. Wasn't entirely clear. Yeah, that's that news. That's all I have to say about it. Does anybody have anything on that?
It's just wild how it keeps growing. I remember when the Civil War announcement, when we saw Spider-Man, and it was like the craziest, most unbelievable thing. We couldn't believe Marvel Studios the MCU was getting Spider-Man, and now we have X-Men, and it's crazy that how business works. Business.
Money talks. Mm-hmm. Money talks. I'll tell you what. I mean, Disney basically gave them a $1 billion movie by doing Spider-Man Far From Home as an epilogue to Avengers Endgame.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I love Spider-Man Far From Home, but Spider-Man Far From Home would not have made that much money if it wasn't on the heels of Avengers Endgame. That's just a momentum. Like, and any movie that followed Avengers Endgame was going to get bolstered by the fact that it followed the biggest movie of all time. Maybe it would have been a $1 billion movie. I don't know, but it certainly benefited from that. But anyway, I'm glad that they're playing nice. More Tom Holland, more Spider-Man, more Venom. I don't know. Will Venom be part of the MCU? I don't think so, but we'll see. I think it'll be part of the multiverse, probably. Hawkeye wrapped production. Jeremy Renner threatened us with more Clint Barton on his Instagram story. Yo, okay, listen, we lost Tony Stark, Natasha Romanoff, and Steve Rogers, but Hawkeye is going to be a long legacy here. Excuse me, beyond the OG. I don't mind Clint Barton, but I'm just trying to be funny. I'm sorry to any of the huge Hawkeye fans. Like, whatever. I'm more excited for Haley Steinfeld's Kate Bishop.
I think that's Jamie, the case for everybody on the planet Earth.
Jamie, what are you thinking about the Hawkeye series?
Jamie, you go first.
No, go ahead.
No, I'm personally, like, I'm just excited to see what the Hawkeye series does for Clint's characterization, because I feel like in the MCU, we have gotten so little of, like, who he actually is in the comics, and I feel like there is a way to keep him going and keep him on, like, another team or just as, like, an occasional member of the Avengers if he kind of has more of that kind of disaster comic book personality of his. And so if we get that in Hawkeye and then it sets up him being on something later on, I'm all for it, but, like, Clint as he is right now, I completely agree of, like, I don't need a whole lot of him, but I'm kind of hopeful that we can hopefully get there.
Yeah, like, I mean, honestly, I did care more about Wanda and Sam than I do about Clint Barton before their shows. Mm-hmm. But I will say that WandaVision and the Falcon and the Winter Soldier both really made me care about characters more than I ever thought I would. Like, I was a Sam Wilson fan. I was a Bucky Barnes fan, a Wanda fan, a Vision fan. And I would say I liked all four of them more than I've really ever been invested in Hawkeye, which isn't like, that's just on the writers. They never really gave him a huge story. They kind of retired him and then pulled him out. I don't know. But these shows have really made you care about the characters a lot more because the movies didn't give them the time. So maybe that's what Hawkeye will do, but I want Kate Bishop more than I want Clint Barton. So yeah. Guardians of the Galaxy Holiday Special is done. The script is done. It's going to film with Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3. James Gunn said on Twitter, it is MCU canon. It takes place after Thor, Love, and Thunder, before Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3. And he's also filming Guardians of the Galaxy Cosmic Rewind roller coaster footage. All of this during Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3 production. Dude, James Gunn, first of all, does the dude sleep? The no. Suicide Squad, Peacemaker, Guardians Volume 3, Holiday Special, and Cosmic Rewind, and who knows what else. He's already teasing more DC work. So, I can't wait for Volume 3. I think the Holiday Special is going to be ridiculous. James Gunn, if you're listening, make me an alien and kill me in it. Please, I'll do anything. It's cool. I mean, he also, I'm kind of worried, he said that he liked the Star Wars Holiday Special. Aaron, thoughts on an MCU canon Holiday Special?
It should be really interesting. I think it'll be really, really showcase for the MCU to do something different, right? Like, the big swings that have really paid off so far have been, like, very weird, different things that we haven't gotten out of the movies, right? So, like, WandaVision, like, The Mandalorian, at least the first season, like, felt, like, super different from some of the other Star Wars stuff that had come out. So, going into a different genre usually works out on these productions. So, I'm interested to see what it is. Also, I don't understand... Like, it's after Love and Thunder, but it's before Guardians Volume 3. How in the world do you navigate that? You know, we're talking about, like, the Thor production springing leaks and Spider-Man springing leaks. How are you going to protect the what's going to happen for Volume 3? And what it obviously has to, like, he has to get back with, like, there's no Thor in the Holiday Special, is there?
They left Earth together. I think the Guardians are only going to be in the very beginning of Thor, Love, and Thunder.
Yeah,
I think
they're going to drop him off, basically. Of like, we're dropping you off at camp. We're going to come back and hang out later. But, like, you just go do your own thing.
Yeah, Thor's going to be like, Merry Christmas, sweet rabbit. And then that's where the holiday special picks up right there. And that's it. this is cool. I mean, it's like, you know, it's not like if you look at the MCU Phase 4 schedule, put a star next to the holiday special as your most anticipated. But, I mean, I'm certainly going to watch it. I trust James Gunn. I love Guardians 1 and 2. I love both of those movies. I like the first one more, but I love the second one. And I know maybe I'm a little bit higher on that than some people. But I don't know. I haven't seen James Gunn miss with the Guardians yet, so...
I feel like you use the Star Wars Holiday Special as like a negative, but I think James Gunn taking that as inspiration, because I mean it's the Holiday Special, Star Wars Holiday Special is horrible, but it's also a delightful, fun, classic watch.
Exactly.
And I think that James Gunn's going to take that idea and elevate it and make it and make it good while also making it funny. And I think we're going to get crazy cameos. The holiday special, I think, is going to be a real gem in the MCU.
If it's anything like that David Hasselhoff music video that they did for Volume 2, where it was like everyone in disco outfits just absolutely committing to the most ridiculous thing ever. Like, if it's just an hour-long version of that, I'm going to be so happy, honestly.
It might be. So I'm glad to see you guys are more excited for the holiday special than I am. So that's cool. That's cool. All right. We are going to take a Schwann-minute break here. And when we come back, it is full spoilers for The Falcon and the Winter Soldier, season one, maybe series finale. We're talking about all of it in full spoilers. You've been warned, people. This is a live show on Twitch. So if it's a podcast, just pause, go watch the show, send it to your friends, and come back. All right, see you in 60 seconds.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome back to the podcast. That was a quick break, huh? And it is time for full spoilers for The Falcon and the Winter Soldier season finale. We're going to go around with our reactions. I'm going to start us off here. Full spoilers, everybody. Falcon and Winter Soldier, if you haven't watched it, this is your chance. Okay. I thought the episode was very good. I think, like WandaVision before it, the series was better than the finale. And to me, episode 5 is where the show peaked for me. Episode 6 had a lot of really strong moments, but ultimately felt like almost an epilogue where it kind of just really quickly tied everything up after episode 5. I was more invested in Sam and Bucky versus John Walker than I was against Carly Morgenthau and the Flag Smashers. And so the John Walker of this episode was kind of weird to me. And I wasn't super invested in Carly. And I was kind of, I wasn't super satisfied with her ending, but we got the suit. That was amazing. Great writing. Sam's speeches were fantastic. I thought the episode was very good. And the series as a whole was very great. So that's my thoughts. Jenna, what did you think of the episode?
I completely agree with you. I liked this episode a lot. It was not a perfect episode. I feel like because this show was a little more ambitious and wide-ranging than WandaVision, it feels like the finale kind of had too many plot threads to wrap up that it didn't necessarily wrap up in the way that I would have wanted. Like, WandaVision to me felt like more of a complete finale because it was so self-contained. But, like, there was so much of this episode that I genuinely enjoyed. I was talking to my boyfriend about it, and we kind of agreed that this feels more like the kind of third chapter of the Captain America trilogy than Civil War did. Because Civil War, like, yeah, Steve was in it and he was a huge part in it, but it didn't really get to the root of what Captain America means in the Marvel Universe, whereas this show really, really kind of celebrated the legacy of what that mantle means. So I liked the episode. I do have some qualms with it, which we'll get into, but, like, I liked it.
Yeah, I'm with you. Aaron, thoughts?
Woo. What a ride, man. I thought, like, you know, we all left episode 5 going, what's in the suitcase? And you're not going to see it folded in the suitcase. You're going to see it in action on the rack. Like, it was beautiful. The intro of him throwing the shield through and rolling in and being like, I'm Captain America is like, wow, I could not have asked for more. I will say it does feel like they were galloping through stuff. Like, because of the pacing, you really had to get through stuff. So we felt like we're checking things off the boxes. We're just going, all right, Batroc, we did the rematch. Okay, we did the other stuff. Oh, Bucky, here's Carly. Here's a weird John Walker slight redemption for some reason, all sort of going really, really fast. So it was really fun. I feel like the stuff with Bucky and Sam's personal life fared a lot better than some of the other stuff they were trying to do. You know, in case you forgot, Anthony Mackie is a Broadway class actor delivering these speeches. In case y'all forgot, I'm excited to see what's next. But yeah, I think episode 5 might have been a little bit stronger for me.
Jamie, take us through your thoughts.
My favorite episode is definitely still episode 3. That was my top point. But I did really enjoy the finale. There were a lot of fun moments, a lot of good action. I loved the helicopter stuff. I like was really invested in Helicopter Lady who took over the helicopter. I don't know why. I was just like really feeling her. I kind of liked the Walker twist of it all. Like the way that the last episode ended, we really thought he snapped and he was about to go fight Sam and Bucky, and I kind of like that he helped them, and now it's like, what's next for him? I'm not a fan of John Walker, but I like the idea that maybe one day I could be. I think that's interesting. I do, you know, the way everything wrapped up, I was excited to see the masks come back. The Winter Soldier, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. mask Sharon had on, I was like, yeah, I know that mask. I have a lot of Sharon Carter opinions that I'm sure we will get to later. But my favorite was that Julia Louis-Dreyfus came back. I didn't know if she would, and I was really excited about that. So overall, I wish there had been a second post-credit scene. Here's my biggest thing. It was like such a big, powerful moment that they changed the title to Captain America and the Winter Soldier. But I really stand by that it should have been Captain America and the White Wolf. Because I don't think that Bucky wants to be the Winter Soldier anymore. And I think it would have been a cool full circle, like changing moment. But I guess not.
Yeah, maybe Bucky's story is still going to get deeper and then they'll officially change his name. Who knows?
I like the idea of him like reclaiming what the Winter Soldier means. Like, I like the idea of him using it in a more heroic context because, like, obviously he's used it to like fight Thanos and deal with all of these kind of more Avengers level threats. But I like the idea of him kind of using the title not in a bad way. So in that logic, I like that he's still called the Winter Soldier.
Like he can kind of take ownership over it and make it a positive. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I just like, why give him the wolf name, I guess?
Well, also, as we said earlier in the show, money talks and the Winter Soldier sells more tickets than Bucky Barnes or the White Wolf, if we're being honest.
That's fair. But also now we have Captain America in the title. So that elevates that as well.
That's also true. But the best Marvel movie of them all, and this is kind of the universal fact, like that people just accept, whether it's your favorite, you also kind of accept that Captain America the Winter Soldier is just the best movie.
It's true.
Yes.
So I don't know. I don't know. I'm just trying to play devil's advocate here for no good reason. I think Captain America and Bucky Barnes or Captain America and the White Wolf would have been a fulfilling change for both characters. But yeah. We're going to run through the episode though, starting with the suit. The suit reveal, Aaron said it. It was awesome. I mean, I'm not going to lie. When I first saw the suit, I was like, this might be a little cheesy. This might, like, it's how is this going to look? And it's so comics accurate that I thought it could end up looking a little cheesy. But then, I mean, instantly, like, as soon as he started moving in it, I was sold. I was on board. Like, I loved it. And I also like what he says, I'm Captain America, to throw, like, a little, I thought Captain America was on the moon. Like, I was like, first of all, did this guy think he was Steve Rogers? Did that guy, like, okay, all right, we need to talk about that. That he looked at Sam Wilson and thought, well, you're back? Like, what? Okay, all right, what? But yeah, I mean, I love the suit. I love the helicopter stuff. Yeah, did anybody want to, that suit, it's the first, like, it first appeared in, what, it was Captain America 25, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it looked just like it. I mean, do you think?
Hold it up.
I'm trying to find the class. I'm trying to find the issue, the page. Yeah, there it is. So that's that. I mean,
oh yeah,
yep.
Like that's about as accurate as you're gonna get.
Mm-hmm. I love this trend. Like MCU costumes have always looked like some modicum of comic accurate, but I love how in Phase 4 we are just going for it. Like between like Sam's suit and the US agent suit later on in the episode, it's like this is ripped straight from the comics and you are not like trying to modernize it or trying to militarize it. It just is. And like between that and Wanda's costume, I'm just like this needs to be the new gold standard for everything in Phase 4 of just like the most comic accurate costume possible because now I know they can do that. So
yeah, I think they've earned that. I think at this point, it's like Marvel knows if the suit is high quality, we're going to accept it. They had us, the biggest movie of all time was about a big giant purple asshole, like just getting chased through the galaxy. They can do anything now. They earned it. I think if you did this 10 years ago, people might be like, nah, I don't know if I can buy into that. But now people are so bought into Marvel and accepting what they put out that it works. Bucky was much more powerful in this episode than he was in the first fight against John Walker. And I think that that is because mentally he's a bit more free. I think he's moved on thanks to the conversations he had with Sam. And I think he maybe is not holding back out of fear of becoming the Winter Soldier anymore. I think he was more powerful, and I love that. He also went back and told Mr. Nakajima that he killed his son. And I expected a more emotional moment, but it happened so fast that I didn't really get to get emotional. Jenna, what did you think of that?
I thought it was well done. Like, I agree. I expected them to lay it on a little bit harder, but I feel like we've already dealt so heavily with Bucky's internal trauma and the guilt that he feels. Like, that has been kind of his through line through the entire series. And so we kind of were able to fill in the gaps once that scene ended. And then when he sees him in the restaurant later on, of like, we can kind of put two and two together of how they got there. It just isn't like said out loud.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, okay, let's talk about John Walker. Like, I and this is going to get the comment section fired up, so I'm opening my comment section browser here because I want to see what everybody's saying about John Walker. Are we supposed to like this guy? Like, just like that? Because if I don't want anybody to forget, just like 10 minutes ago, this dude was bludgeoning a dude with the Captain America shield. He was fighting Sam and Bucky. Mm-hmm. He was Mr. White Privilege in the Supreme Court or wherever he was. And then all of a sudden, he makes the pick between kill Flag Smashers or save a van full of people. And he chooses to save the van. And we're like, oh, well, all is forgiven. No. No. Jamie, where are you at on John Walker?
I'm just interested. I'm definitely, like, they've got me on the hook. And I'm excited that we're going to get more Wyatt Russell. Am I excited we're going to get more John Walker? TBD. Don't like him yet. But I watched a lot of Goldie movies this week, and it's just gotten me like hyped for the legacy of the Kurt and Goldie legacy is living on. And I'm excited to see where this is going. I'm excited to watch him work with Julie Louis-Dreyfus. Whether or not we're supposed to like him, I think that we're all confused on purpose about that question, which I think is kind of fun.
Aaron, what do you think of John Walker?
It's so complicated because, like, you can't shake him murdering that dude on camera in 4K. Like, it's so, like, so bad. But there are redeemable parts, I suppose, because, like, choosing, having the Spider-Man dilemma of chase the bad guy or save these people in this car, and he chooses the car, shows that there might be some redeemable qualities to him. And, you know, I think they're setting it up so when he shows up in whatever Captain America movie comes next or the series, when him and Anthony Mackie are on other opposite sides, you're going to be conflicted about who you're supposed to be cheering for as they're fighting. Kind of like how you didn't know who you were supposed to be cheering for with Bucky and Steve fighting in Winter Soldier. So I don't know. It's going to be weird. I'm sitting there in the background like, oh my goodness, are we really doing this? As it was going on, I'm like, I guess we're doing this.
This just lit up the comment section on Twitch. Everybody on Twitch, make sure you're following the channel because we do this every Friday. I hope you're I see some new names here and a lot of regulars. I see Joanna as F, ASF. I like to imagine your name is Joanna as, like, you're really emphasizing that you are Joanna. I hate him still, but he's already getting more interesting. That's fair. Hufflepuff Carol says, y'all forgave Zemo just as easy, just saying. Yeah, that's because Zemo's, like, at least a little cultured. Like, you know,
well, he's funny. It helps when he makes you laugh. Yeah.
Yeah, he's fun. John Walker just makes me cringe. You know what I mean?
My thing was, like, they really quickly, it was like, oh, Bucky is just kind of chummy with him, like, all of the sudden. It's like they go from wanting to beat the crap out of each other last episode to, like, he's making fun of him for quoting Abraham Lincoln. And I'm like, I feel like I missed something here, because how did we get to this point to where, like, Bucky and Sam aren't just wanting to immediately confront Walker like they have been for the entire series?
Yeah, I mean, I think that this would have benefited from an extra episode.
Yeah.
To flesh out this last episode could have been two episodes, I think, and parts of the last episode could have been part of this to make it. It's almost like it's not as bad, not nearly as bad, but it's almost like the Daenerys Targaryen turn in Game of Thrones, where it happened too quickly, and you knew this was going to happen, so, like, you don't really hold it against it too strongly, but also it would have benefited from being fleshed out more. It's not nearly as extreme and fast as that was, but I feel like it's similar in that regard. Can we talk about his shield? Somebody in the comments said, can we talk about his wish.com Captain America shield that crumbled up just the way we thought it was going to? That shield sucked. He is not Captain America. That's it. I don't know what else there is to say about that. You know, no dollar store. Shield lasted like 4 minutes. Yeah. Do we think that? What do we think Val is setting up? Is she like starting a Thunderbolts initiative? Is she starting like a Dark Avengers? Anybody have any thoughts on that?
I feel like it has to be Thunderbolts.
I think so too.
Yeah.
And I hope so. I was hoping for a Thunderbolts post-credit scene. We didn't get one. But if we're getting Thunderbolts, can John Walker and Zemo work together?
That would be really, really fun to see. Like, yeah, that is like, now that we've seen both of them really explored in this show, it's like the idea of them having to work alongside each other and like how they would butt heads in the process is like really, really fascinating to me.
Yeah, I mean, and that would make for a very good dynamic and an interesting writing opportunity, I think. But Zemo hates super soldiers. I think Zemo particularly would hate John Walker, the super soldier. So we'll see. But the U.S. agent suit, honestly, it looks great. Mm-hmm. It's super comics accurate. So that was cool. Who was the guy in the car, says Brax Sandez? That was Zemo's Alfred, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, that was like Zemo's, I don't know that character's name. Does he have a name?
Zemo's Alfred works.
Yeah,
we all know what you mean.
I don't think we were told his name. I could be wrong, but yeah.
Hashtag Zemo's Alfred. Now let's talk about Carly Morgenthau. I just didn't really find myself that invested in Carly's story. I was just so much more invested in the John Walker Captain America feud that I felt like Carly's story kind of got overshadowed by some of that, and then it came out really quickly in this finale. And then before we know it, she was dead. And I do want to shout out, I do like that Sam refused to fight her, which reminded me of when Steve refused to fight Bucky as the Winter Soldier. I think that the parallels between Steve and Sam were really cool throughout the series. But like, I mean, Aaron, what do you think of the Carly Morgenthau of it all? Did you want more from that? Were you satisfied with this story?
I do like that the choice to not have him fight her in their final confrontation. Like, Sam stayed true to like what he believed in the entire time, which is like, she's just a kid, she's misguided. I think her heart's in the, like, you know, in the right place, but she's going about it the wrong way. And it was weird to see her, like, I mean, some people probably would say that her turn to like killing more and more people and then sacrificing her own people is like out of character. But I guess, you know, when you meet, how old is she supposed to be? She's not that much older than like a teenager, right? Yeah. Like, they make bad decisions, and she made a lot of bad decisions in a very, very short order of time. And, you know, she ended up accomplishing her goal, weirdly enough. Like, Sam talking to the senators ended up making it so they didn't just deport everybody from the different nations. But it was like I think Brandon said, like, you really wanted it to be more Sam and Bucky fighting Walker at the end would have probably provided a little more catharsis for the audience than this other force. But, you know, she got what she wanted in the end, I suppose. Although everybody she knew is like, all her like main crew is dead. Everybody dead.
They're all gone.
They're all gone.
Zemo got the last laugh.
Yeah.
That's it. Yeah. But I you know, I'll always wonder, because there's a rumor online, and I don't know if this is true, but it's a rumor that goes around online. This isn't coming from me. I've seen this online. I'm not giving you new information. I gathered this off Twitter and other media websites, that there was like a pandemic story involved with the show. And they removed a lot of that, obviously, because we're in a pandemic and a lot of stuff was reshot. And I really wonder how much Carly's story may have been changed or removed or something as a result of, if this is true, removing whatever the pandemic story of it all was. And I know they'll never, they keep such a tight lip on all those kind of stories, especially things that big. I don't think they'll ever really, if this was true, share that, but I would love to hear that, because I would love to hear what the very original, like the fully realized original versions of both WandaVision and the Falcon and the Winter Soldier would have been if they weren't affected by shutdowns and alterations to their stories and stuff like that, but from shooting during COVID. But I don't know. Maybe it had a huge impact. Maybe it had a very small impact. But if that turned out to be true, but yeah.
I want to say about Carly, I liked Carly's journey, and I agree there was some stuff that could have been done better, but I think it's kind of funny that in the end, all it took was somebody in like this flashy new Captain America suit to give like a rousing speech and like, well, I accomplished what Carly's been trying to do. Like, and I although Sam's speech was powerful and stuff, I do find it's a little unbelievable that a man is going to stand there and say some words to politicians and all of a sudden they're like, yep, we're convinced. We're changing our minds. I feel like if Carly was alive, she'd be like, really? That's all he had to do?
See, that's my thing too, is that like she spent the entire episode being like, I don't care if I die. I don't care if I die. I just want to get my plan out there. And it's like, I almost would have liked it better if she had said that and then she had lived. And then like, we kind of see her character arc of like, what does that look like if you survived your kind of grandmaster plan and now have to face the consequences? And like, I never fully saw her as a villain. I really just saw her as an antagonist. But like, by and large, the entire series, I kind of agreed with the mindset that she had. And so to see her just definitively die at the end of it, while John Walker, the epitome of white male entitlement, gets to have this redemption arc and gets to go on this whole journey. It was like, oh, I wanted that for Carly too. I wanted to see what her kind of endgame would have been.
I wanted more Aaron Kellerman too.
Yeah.
You know, but yeah, so I feel like that Carly Morgenthau story didn't have a satisfying end for me. Not totally satisfying, I guess. Aaron, go ahead.
Also, like, she's Sharon's fault too. She's completely Sharon's fault, like, which is wild. I completely glossed over until like right now, but like, yeah, like, she's like, you worked for me. And I'm like, Sharon, how many people have you ruined over the course of like these last six episodes? Like, what happened? What's yeah. going on?
Who hurt you and why was it Steve Rogers?
Who's going to do the Agatha All Along remix all about Sharon Carter?
Carter all along. yeah, but we're going to talk about Sharon in a bit. But yeah, she got my man Batroc killed. She turned Carly to the dark. Man, we're in New York City for so much of this episode. Not one shot of Avengers Tower. Not one shot of anything MCU related in that New York City skyline. Are you kidding me? Also, did anybody sit there and think, like, where's Spider-Man? Where's Doctor Strange? Where's the Daily Bugle? Anything like that? Because I was thinking it. I was definitely thinking it. Maybe
they're
that's
all just like, they're taking the night off. They're just like, this is your thing. We're just gonna watch some Netflix and not really deal with it right now.
Maybe. I don't know. I would have even just liked to see like a wanted poster for Peter Parker or something. But this could have been before that, which raises the question of why didn't Spider-Man come help? But anyway. One thing I did want to point out, I forgot to mention this earlier, in that Carly Morgenthau showdown that was underground, it kind of reminded me of that Sam Wilson Captain America book where he goes underground and finds all those kids and they're fighting Scarecrow. Mm-hmm. Like Scarecrow's kind of holding people hostage underground. Kind of gave me vibes of that. Probably totally unrelated, but I thought that was it kind of gave me that vibe. Now I want to talk about Isaiah Bradley. Best part of the episode for me was the Isaiah Bradley statue. I thought, like, they said we were going to cry in this episode. I don't know if I'll be able to watch that scene. I have to watch this episode a bunch more times for it to not get me choked up. I thought that was really powerful. And and before I hand this over to our Isaiah expert, Aaron, I do want to say that when Isaiah said, the fight you're taking on ain't going to be easy, Sam, like that, I see such a double meaning to that. Because A, he's saying that to Sam Wilson in trying to convince like the MCU's world to accept him as a black Captain America. But I feel like he's also saying that to Anthony Mackie, because Anthony Mackie is going to have to deal with this crap. Like, there's going to be just stuff online that we're going to block out in our comment section. It's not welcome here. Like, but it's going to be out there. Like, Simu Liu just posted on his Instagram story, I think last night or this morning, that the Shang-Chi trailer release was the best week of his life, but also showed him the worst corners of social media. And like, you just, having these like diverse representation moments and continuing them and building this legacy and building these characters, this is going to be awesome. And everybody who has a problem with it is just going to have to take it. And I love that. They're just going to like, they're going to build awesome characters and awesome stories. And people are just going to have to shut up and learn to put that shit away. We're not having that anymore. So, but I do love that line from Isaiah Bradley, and I'm really happy for Anthony Mackie that he got this. And that's it. Aaron, I want you to talk about Isaiah Bradley though, because to tell us about your thoughts on the story, how it compares to Isaiah's comics, and the kind of the way the statue, I think, is kind of similar to what Steve Rogers does for it's kind of like the MCU's version.
Well, I think when they first discussed having him in the show, I was very, very like excited, but also kind of afraid, because it's a really heavy thing to take on in anything. This would have been heavy for a movie to take on. This would have been the first thing out at Disney Plus without the pandemic. I was really kind of intrigued to see how they handled it. And I think that they did within the parameters about as well as they could possibly do with my man's story. As far as the ending is concerned, it does mirror the last issue of Truth, Red, White, and Black very, very closely, where, you know, Steve Rogers finally goes and visits him in his house, and he sees that there's this like wall, like a gallery wall of pictures of Isaiah with all these different entertainers and politicians and all these other people who have gone to meet him, but he's still this large secret. And it's sort of acknowledged that I can't give you back the years that you lost or your friends that have died or all this the stuff that you sacrificed to become like, you know, to help all of us without anybody knowing who you are. But I can do this little thing. I can do one thing to let you know that you're appreciated and that what you did mattered. And that what you sacrifice is not going to be in vain. And flipping that to the experience of a Black character is very interesting, especially one that's going to that's going to carry on your legacy, whether textually or not, because people still didn't know that much about him, is really, really powerful, because you can't really say you're sorry. You know, there's no real apology that would fill for Isaiah Bradley. You know, his wife is gone. You know, everybody he knew is gone except for his grandson. And, you know, he's going to have to move to life. But he does get that one last win of I'm in the Smithsonian right here next to Captain America. And it's funny, too, because with statues, it captures you in a moment of time, right? He's always going to be that strong, young, more idealistic version of himself in that memorial inside the museum. So it's wonderful. I can't say enough about Carl Umlay's portrayal of him. And how they balance both like the sort of weird like joy and pain that could come with that sort of like, you know, existence or that sort of experience, because he's still cracking jokes on Sam. He's like, you know, you look good, but also, you know, that this is still going to be hard. And also, you know I told you not to do this, but I'm going to begrudgingly accept it because you're doing the right thing. And I would have done the right thing too, even though he's sort of crusty about it. So just very, very good. I thought it was really well done. And hopefully we see Eli. I hope we see him again, because I hope he's not there for no reason.
Please, Young Avengers, bring him on. Please bring him on.
Do you think that statue was an actual statue, and did Carl get to keep it? Is what I want to know.
Is this in his living room now?
Yes.
If I was him, I would have asked the prop department, hey, what are y'all doing with the statue after this is over with? I like that.
You know they had to make more than one. There's no way they had just one, you know, just in case. You know, you can't have one break on the day and not have a spare. So maybe Carl Lovely has an Isaiah Bradley statue in his house. That would be
He
awesome.
Deserves it. I hope
he Yeah, that would be awesome. That to me was the emotional landing of the show. That was the message of the show landing. That was the bookend, and then everything after that was extra. So I love that though. Before we get to Sharon Carter, we're going to talk about Zemo really quickly. The Wakandans put him on the raft. They said they were going to do that. That's still a surprising move to me. I didn't really think about it until I saw him on the raft. I feel like Wakanda would want its own justice with Zemo. They'd want to like kind of have him. Or something, based on what I've seen from them, I guess in Black Panther. But he's on the raft, which seems like there has to be a reason for that. I imagine the heavy lifting of setting up a Thunderbolts and pulling Zemo out of Wakanda is like you can't really craft that story.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's all I had. I thought that was it hit me that was kind of an interesting choice. Yeah. And last but not least, maybe least, Sharon Carter is the power broker, which wasn't a surprise. So I just didn't care. She had the face tech from the Winter Soldier, which was cool, and I know that was used in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. as well. I know Jamie. Well, Jamie, were you gonna mention that?
Agent 33. I thought that was a fun little connection.
Yeah, maybe Agent 13 is. They're all in the secret agent school.
All the numbers.
So, I mean, like, she brutally killed a dude with like that acid air.
I know,
like, that was dark.
Yeah,
made him look like Deadpool. But yeah, I mean, it's like she got Batroc killed. She got Carly killed. Who burned her so badly that she went on to become this Madripoor powerhouse? I don't know. It's such a weird turn that maybe if they explain it, we'll care more. But right now, and also maybe because this episode had so much going on that I didn't have time to really care about this reveal of Sharon as the power broker. But
I'm ready to talk about this.
Jamie, number one Sharon anti pre Falcon. Okay. I'm just kidding. Jamie, come on, go ahead.
So, okay, after episode 3, I was like, all right, Sharon Carter, let's see where it's at. And on paper, I love the idea of this goody-goody government girl getting burned by her country, getting slighted by a man who then goes and dates her aunt. I believe that a woman who has gone through those things would snap and would turn on her government who didn't do anything for her. And on paper, what a cool idea. But they just cannot give her anything to do on screen. They have given us nothing to get us excited for bad Sharon Carter. And people are like, maybe she's a Skrull, whatever. I would rather see her. No, this is Sharon Carter, and she snapped. I think that's a cool idea, but just like, where's the execution? I want to give me one scene where I believe that this woman who 10 years ago in the middle of S.H.I.E.L.D. headquarters fought against half of the people to support Steve and to support what she believed in and America. And I just am not buying this gap yet. And it's frustrating because I want to like this. But it's just, it's like, okay, she's the power broker.
I think that's like the problem, like the bigger problem of the episode is like, I feel like she and John Walker could have both been a little bit more unhinged. It's like, we're supposed to believe that like they have turned to the dark side and they're kind of like loose cannons, but we don't really see that in a way that is actually meaningful, especially juxtaposed with the Walker scene at the end of episode 4. And so like, for me with Sharon, it's just like, I also think it's the problem of, we don't know where most of these characters are going to be next. Like with WandaVision, we knew like, okay, Wanda's going to go here. Monica's going to go here, so that way their arcs, like, it made sense where their endpoints of their arcs were, but it's like, we don't know what the like long-term plan is for Sharon Carter. So her just being in the government now and being shady, it's like, okay, cool, but I don't know where we're gonna see that.
Yeah and that may have made it more interesting because we would have been looking at it through that lens, but with what we have, it just didn't have the payoff that such a twist I think should have had. So It's hopeful. I think Jamie broke it down the best. She put the best words to it, that there is so much potential. They just don't know what to do with Sharon Carter to make her interesting. And I mean, I'm thrilled for Emily Van Camp to hopefully get a good story here, because she's been in this role for how long and hasn't really had a moment to shine. Aaron, what do you think?
I was just gonna ask, like, do you think she shows up in Armor Wars or Secret Invasion first? Oh. Everybody?
I was going to say, okay. I think Armor Wars is the next big follow-up to this. I think that could be the place we see Sam Wilson again as well.
Okay.
I think, because like Rhodey was in the beginning of it, and like that was like something that just happened, and like kind of seems like it was just kind of cast off. But like they have to pay it off at some point. They have to give her something to do. I almost feel like instead of John Walker, she should be the antagonist of Captain America 4 or whatever. Because, like, you have to be able to give her something else to do. Because I was like, really? Like, I don't know. It just felt a little bit weird. I'm with Jamie. I was like, oh, man. That turned really quickly. Think about how cool she was. Like, was it episode 3?
Mm-hmm.
She's so cool. And then, like, all the air goes out of the balloon over a short amount of time. Also, BD, that was, like, mercury gas or something. Like,
yeah, mercury vapor.
Mercury vapor, yeah. Very, very bad for humans. Not good for humans.
Bad for your skin. Certainly not great for skincare routines. So everybody's asking who she called in the comments right now. I can't even venture a guess who she called, unless this is like a Trevor Slattery situation where there's a real power broker and she's not the real power broker. But I don't think that's the case. I don't know. I see casually cosplaying in the comments just now. So maybe she's calling Norman Osborn, Yelena Belova. I don't know. I don't even want to start that conversation because it's impossible. There's endless possibilities. But if Sharon as power broker is going to be the main villain of anything, they have some lifting to do. They need to make her matter. The writers, whoever takes on that character, they need to give Emily Van Camp more stuff to do, just like she did in episode 3 of this show. She was awesome. And then this, like Aaron said, deflated that balloon a bit, at least for me. So listen, I want to end the show with some predictions on where we'll see people next, like we just did with Sharon. In the comment section, if you have some questions, get them in there now. We'll answer those as soon as we're done with this little bit of the show here. I think Armor Wars is the next big one that we would see any of these characters in. Bucky could be in Black Panther 2, but they did tell him to make himself scarce in Wakanda. So that's pretty much where I'm at. I think Black Panther 2 and Armor Wars are the two places that fit, and Secret Invasion, because that, you know, Nick Fury, Captain America, maybe. That's my thought. But Aaron, where do you think we'll see some of these characters again?
I think that Armor Wars is a pretty safe bet. Although I would like, after all the ribbing of Tom Holland in the press between Anthony Mackie and Sebastian Stan, I would like them to pop up in like Spider-Man for at least a couple seconds, just to joke and reference like how they always give Tom a hard time. But that's probably not going to happen. So I think
everyone else is in the movie. Why not?
Like, exactly. For real. Like, you have everybody. Wanda can show up. Everybody can be in it. You know. Yeah.
Jamie, I got so excited at that idea. I
heard Jamie, you're on the big screen now. Where do you think we'll see these people?
Oh my gosh. You know, when it comes to this stuff, I have no freaking clue. I am along for the ride. All that matters is that I really want to see Julia Louis-Dreyfus. I hope she's still in Black Widow. That's like the closest thing I can think of, like front of mind. But I don't have any larger theories than that. Sorry,
Jenna. I know I'm putting everybody on the spot. This wasn't in the show rundown. This is a curveball.
Part of me just hopes that like they wanted this show to get out, and then they're going to announce a Captain America movie. Like I feel like if the pandemic hadn't happened and we got this show last August, like we were supposed to, that might have been a thing at like Investor Day for Disney. So I would just like, ideally in my mind, it's like you just do a proper Captain America movie with Sam and for everyone else. Have them turn into bolts somewhere or other.
Yeah, I think a Captain America movie with Sam could be very interesting and very successful. So I would love to see that. And maybe they announce it. But we all kind of seem to be going into these shows expecting like a Book of Boba Fett announcement at the end. And I don't think those are going to be happening. Like, I don't think that's going to – I think Lucasfilm and Marvel Studios are operating so differently that you can't even compare or make expectations from one to the other.
I really thought the what you have on your background, Mr. No Spoilers, but had that in the background the whole time.
I know.
I really thought that it was going to say "Will Return" at the end of that, and I was like a little bummed. We haven't had a "Will Return." Like I want some "Will Returns."
That's so Infinity Saga. What? Will Return? We don't do that anymore. Casually cosplaying with a good question here. Would you rather Avengers Tower become Oscorp or the Baxter Building? I say the Baxter Building.
I agree. Baxter Building.
They already teased it with the numbers, right?
Yeah.
They did. 1, 2, 3. Wait till you see what's next. 4.
4.
Huh. Danu the pug. We have a pug in the chat. Was Falcon wearing vibranium in his new suit? I like to think so. That would mean he could be like John Wick and just have bullets deflected off of him.
That would be cool.
Can we talk Indigo 15, Brandon Moore? Can we talk about Bucky playing with Sam's nephews at the end? He has a family now. Yeah, that was cute.
He's a family moment. With his husband and his
exactly. Yeah. It was so domestic. I loved when like Bucky rolled up with the sunglasses and the cake that he probably bought at like a Kroger or whatever. Like he was just living his best life. Like that whole scene was just so great.
Mm-hmm. And Zelda in the comments is talking about the sunset, and it was the only time this episode when they both like looked up together that I shouted kiss at the screen. Normally I shout kiss at the screen a lot more, but that was the, like, I will say this episode did not have as many undertones as the last one did, but they did give me a little piece, a little nugget at the end there.
Yeah, I was expecting your review to be more like a lot of punching, not enough kissing.
Yeah. At least there was no Bucky Sharon, because from the trailers, I was really worried they were going to put Bucky and Sharon together, and I would have hated that. So I'm glad that didn't happen.
That would have been weird. That would have been.
No.
Anyway, all right. Well, so this one comes from Bun from the G. What are you guys going to be talking about for the rest of the podcast after this week? Well, we're going to be playing games. We're going to be talking about the MCU news. We're going to be bringing fans on the show to talk live. Oh. And next week, I don't know yet, but I have put out the request to get Malcolm Spellman and or Kari Skoglund on the show to talk about The Falcon and the Winter Soldier. Malcolm Spellman was the head writer. Kari Skoglund was the director. And if they are available, we are thinking they're going to be live on the show, just like Matt Shakman was after WandaVision. So we're going to talk about all that. All our questions are going to be answered, because for when you get somebody for an hour, you get to talk a lot. You get to talk a lot. So, and also I reached out to Catherine Hahn's people too. I haven't heard back. I know Jamie wants to have Agatha Harkness on the show, but
more
we'll
than
see,
anything.
We'll see if we make that happen. We'll see if we make that happen. Loki is 7 weeks away. Oh, Indigo 15, your interview. This is not me flexing. I wanted to point out, I forgot to mention this. Your interview with Danny Ramirez was fantastic, by the way. Thank you for the compliment. I want to shout out Danny Ramirez. He was such an awesome interview. Now the whole world has a crush on him, that they've seen him as himself. And Torres is totally fixing those wings and becoming Captain America. There's no way he's not. How did I skip over this in this episode? Torres got the wings last week, and there was no sign of it when he was in the military base in this episode. But I like to think he paused fixing the wings just to watch Sam's speech on the news. Anybody?
I agree. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Evans Larson's get Tom Hiddleston on the show. Listen, Loki is Loki's going to happen. I'm sure we'll have a Tom Hiddleston interview one way or another, hopefully. I don't know.
I'm just so excited for Loki. Wanda's my favorite lady, and Loki's my favorite man. And Marvel, like I said, Marvel just is, it's like the Jamie Jarek hour. How much can they please me? It's like a new game.
Yeah, when I said that I reached out to Catherine Hahn, Jamie, in one of our behind the scenes moments, was like, "You know I'm on that show." And I was like,
"I will never speak to you again if I don't get to be on that show."
Oh, I would just see myself out. I would just be like, "I failed you, Jamie. I could never." But listen, honestly, everybody, thank you for a fantastic run. If you're watching us on Twitch.tv/comicbook, please follow the channel. Make sure you're following the channel, because we also have Comic Book Nation. And Wild Podcast has appeared, and occasionally some video games, whatever else we feel like, Twitch streaming. You don't want to miss any of that. We have some cool stuff on the channel. And if you're listening to us on Apple, leave a 5-star review, please, because we deserve a 5-star review. We're the best show ever. And if you're listening to us on Spotify, you know, share the links with your friends. We appreciate it. I will retweet anybody who sends links to the Apple and the Spotify thing. I am trying to get these numbers up, get everybody listening, so that Marvel's like, yo, we got to put everybody on that show. Everybody listens to Phase Zero. We got to send everybody if we want everybody to watch our stuff. So, listen, we appreciate the support all along the way. So thank you all very much for joining us for 15 weeks of Phase Zero already.
Wow.
And 7 weeks from now, we'll be in week 22, breaking down Loki. So that's very exciting. Hard to believe this is already over. Jamie, Falcon of the Winter Soldier era is over. Any parting words?
No, just thank you all for giving me Julie Louis-Dreyfus. And like last week, I'm on Letterboxd now, and I'm really obsessed with it. So follow me on Letterboxd.
When are you ever returning to Twitter?
I hope not. I mean, you know, Sunday's going to be my real test, because I don't think in the last 10 years I have ever not live tweeted the Oscars.
Wow.
Not live tweeting the Oscars, if I can make that, then I think I can never get back to Twitter again, and I'll be really a happy person. We'll see.
Kicked it cold turkey. Congratulations. Congrats on your mental health.
Thank you. It's so much. It's truly better. I'm not kidding. It is better.
I'll say that I open Twitter and I love the people on Twitter. We have awesome followers and fans and everything, but you get 100 messages of people being nice. And then it's always the one that it's like, you suck. You shouldn't have said this about Sharon Carter. You should die. And that's the one that I remember. And I'm like, well, I hate this place.
Yeah, it's anyway. Mean.
Yeah, it's not a friendly place. Jenna, anything to wrap up our Falcon and Winter Soldier era of Phase Zero?
This has just been amazing. This is so much fun. I hope this is not the last time I'm on here because this has just been so great. I have not been able to break my Twitter addiction. I wish I could. I wish I was in Jamie's position, but Twitter is just a time suck in my life that I cannot get rid of yet. So if you want to follow me there, you can go to @heyitsjennalyn and basically look up that username, Instagram, anywhere else, probably will find me. So
love it. Aunt Zelda in the comments said, I miss Jamie on Twitter, not going to lie.
Thank you.
Jenna, follow me on Instagram. Absolutely. Jenna, you will both absolutely be back on the show. I hope you will join us. And Aaron, any farewell you would like to bid to the Falcon and Winter Soldier era?
It was a lot of fun. I had a great time coming through and talking with you guys. And hopefully I'll be back too. It's @SummerLakeHornet on Twitter. I'll be tweeting out Joel Santana memes of him and all full dressed up like an American flag for the rest of the day. And I too miss Jamie on Twitter because midnight WandaVision memes was a moment. I was like, she came out of retirement. Oh my God. I gotta go over here and see what's going on. So love you guys. Hopefully we see you guys again.
Jamie will be back for Doctor Strange 2 when Wanda is, when there's new Wanda content. There's no way Jamie will resist the new Wanda memes and content. There is no way.
Someone needs to make the graphic of like Jamie Cinematics will return.
You're killing me.
That should be your one tweet until you return. You should do Jamie Cinematics will return. But never, don't say where. We don't say where anymore. But no, seriously, all three of you, I can't thank you enough for an awesome, awesome run here. The Fantastic Four assembled on Phase Zero. This was super fun, and you're all just awesome to have on here. So thank you for making the show better. All right, we'll be back next week, though. This is the end of Phase Zero. We're talking like this is the end of Phase Zero. We'll be back next week. And we're going to figure out who's going to be on the show. Hopefully, we have an awesome special guest. We're going to play games. We're going to invite fans. We're going to have a good time. Phase Zero is still just growing, and we're going to make this the best show ever. We're going to get the fans excited. We're going to introduce you to some of your heroes, hopefully. I'm still figuring out how to do that, but it's a promise. I promise to fulfill. And if you want to talk more, hit me up at Brandon Davis BD on all social media platforms. Head over to comicbook.com/Marvel. Subscribe to our Twitch channel. Tell your friends to subscribe to our podcast. We're going to make the most of these next 7 weeks until Loki begins. That's our show. I'm done rambling. It wouldn't be the end of the show if I didn't ramble. Love you, 3000.